You're listening to the Sunday Session Podcast with Francesca Rutkin from Newstalk ZB.
And joining us now is New Zealand Herald Deputy Political Editor Thomas Coughlin. How are you this morning, Thomas?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Right, is there more to come on Stuart Nash and the whole OIA saga?
I mean, quite possibly. The government's obviously tipped this one to the Cabinet Secretary to have a look at. The government did a pretty bad job of releasing that email. The email was described by Chris Hipkins as black and white. It was pretty clear reading the email that that it wasn't very good for Stuart Nash. Having a look at the OIA that was filed to release that email, it's pretty clear that the email should have been released into the public domain. It was clearly in his capacity as a minister. Stuart Nash's office didn't release it. The Prime Minister's office had a look at the email, decided not to release it, saying that it was out of the scope of the OIA. They now agree that's wrong. What this has boiled down to now is that classic problem of cock-up versus conspiracy. Did the government just make a mistake? Were they a bit tired? Did they look at the email, think the wrong things? Or was it kept out of the public eye deliberately? Did someone look at the email and decide, actually, no, we won't release that? So the government's obviously saying, look, this was a mistake. The National Party is saying, yeah, hang on now, this email was seen by a lot of people. It was handled by a lot of senior people. There might be a bit more to this. Will we ever get a definitive answer? Pretty hard to say. I think we'll be arguing about this for a long time.
You don't sound hopeful there, Thomas. I mean, look, Chris Hipkins wasn't involved in this directly, but of course he has to clean up this mess. Could this become an annoyance for him?
Oh, it certainly will. As you say, this was all last done while Jacinda Ardern was the Prime Minister, and it was done by her staff and then by Nash's staff. So, yes, unfortunately, Chris Hipkins does have to mop up his predecessor here. It will become a bit of a mess for him because this cabinet secretary inquiry into what happened the inquiries into whether there are other emails, what the other correspondence Nash had with his donors was. So this is going to report back in about 2 months' time, and Chris Hipkins is obviously going to have to respond to that. And obviously each week this drags on, each month this drags on, brings us a month closer to the election. And so Chris Hipkins will be unfortunately having to deal with questions arising from this quite close to polling day, which is the last thing he probably wants to do.
Yeah. Now, I mentioned sort of earlier on in the show, I'm sure that both Chris's would have preferred to have been talking about their policy announcements of the week and other announcements and successes rather than all the oxygen being sucked out of the air with the story and, of course, the Marama Davidson story as well.
Yeah. I'd agree with that, although I think Chris Develaxon's possibly quite happy to be talking about this for a few more days. Even though he probably would rather be talking about his policy. I think this comes a close second.
Ardern's valedictory speech, of course, is on Wednesday. What is your take on her legacy and leadership as Prime Minister?
I thought there's a really good piece in the Herald yesterday by Audrey Young, which talked to former Prime Ministers about Ardern's legacy. I thought they were pretty fair on that. You know, Helen Clark raised some questions about the foreign policy legacy. She described it as a bit of a wobble at times because of Ardern's sort of pivot towards the United States, and then she latterly kind of pivoted back towards the sort of centre ground between the United States and China. And then Jim Bolger was quite critical of Ardern's domestic record. And I think those criticisms are probably fair. There are large amounts of that domestic agenda that remain unfulfilled. But obviously Geoffrey Palmer raised the point that the success, and actually John Key raises this as well, that leadership during the pandemic and during March 15 was quite incredible and quite special. So as with most political leaders, there will be two stories told, and one is that incredible success during those two catastrophes, but then that will be kind of in the background of that will be a much more mixed record on the domestic policy agenda and her foreign policy.
Thomas, I believe that Jacinda Ardern is only doing two interviews on her resignation, which kicks in 14th of April. Obviously, she is laying low because that is the polite thing to do for the new Prime Minister. But do you think Ardern is also happy to quietly retreat from politics?
Yes, I think she is. She's always had an ambivalent relationship with the media. I don't think she's ever really enjoyed media attention, which is obviously quite ironic because she's had rather a lot of it. She has decided to go for two television interviews with people outside the press gallery, people who aren't John Campbell is one of them, and he spent some time there, but people who are not political kind of interviewers. which is an odd choice of hers. I remember when John Key left office, he did a round of long form interviews, and they were really insightful. I thought I think it's a great shame, and I think it's slightly unfortunate actually that she's decided to do this, because I think a long form interview, a half hour on each of the major radio networks and maybe long print interviews, should get the opportunity to explain some of those successes and failures, and to really be quite reflective with that long form kind of space. But she's clearly decided against that, which is quite unusual. Bill English, of course, he retreated from the public realm and made low, very low since then. So it's not completely unprecedented, but it's an interesting choice given there are still so many questions around her successes and failures, and she they've been raised a lot recently, and she's not really responding to them.
We shall have to wait for the memoir, I think, Thomas.
We will. I'll be first in line. I look forward to reading it. I might be waiting for a while.
New Zealand Herald Deputy Political Editor Thomas Coughlin, thanks so much for your time this morning.
For more from the Sunday Session with Francesca Rutkin, listen live to News Talk ZB from 9 a.m. Sunday, or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.
It's true. Hell hath no fury like a toddler whose sandwich was cut into squares when they wanted triangles. If you are looking for some rounded parenting advice, have a listen to The Parenting Hangover.
We have a guest, and today's guest is Dude Dad.
Gentle parenting. Instead of yelling at your kids, you try to reason with them, explain to them what you mean, and then when that doesn't work, you yell at them.
The Parenting Hangover with Clinton Jordan. New episodes every Thursday on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.